Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. This is God's Word. This is the written account of Adam's line. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And when they were created, he called them man, that is Adam. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam lived 930 years and then he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he became the father of Enosh. And after he became the father of Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Seth lived 912 years and then he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he became the father of Kenan. And after he became the father of Kenan, Enosh lived 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enosh lived 905 years and then he died. When Kenan had lived 70 years, he became the father of Mahalalel. And after he became the father of Mahalalel, Kenan lived 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Kenan lived 910 years, and then he died. When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he became the father of Jared. And after he became the father of Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Mahalalel lived 895 years, and then he died. When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. And after he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived 962 years, and then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years, had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he became the father of Lamech. And after he became the father of Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Methuselah lived 969 years, and then he died. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he had a son. He named him Noah, and said, "He will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed." After Noah was born, Lamech lived 595 years, and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Lamech lived 777 years, and then he died. After Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Is this even possible? I mean, we're reading about these incredibly long lives. And a lot of people read that and they just say, well, this, I mean, obviously time must have been measured differently back then. Maybe, you know, like when it says he lived 700 years, they were counting like 1 year as 10 years or something. So you didn't really live 700 years. You lived 70 years. Yeah, that's great. And then they were having kids when they were 6.5 years old. Okay? So that's no solution at all. If you just pay attention to the text, that's no solution at all. Well, you know, this was prior to the flood. I mean, now, the flood? What flood? Well, if you're not familiar with the book, there's a flood coming. In fact, we're going to learn about that in the next chapter. But perhaps prior to the flood, there was a lot more oxygen in the atmosphere, and, you know, it was like living in sort of a special environment where everybody just naturally was healthier and lived longer, and that's what happened, is the atmosphere changed after the flood, and that's why now we don't have as much magnesium in the soil and as much oxygen in the air, and that's why we're all dying at like 1/10 the age. No, actually, there's a much simpler explanation. And that is, you find God saying a little later in Genesis, you know, people are permanently bent toward doing the wrong thing. I'm not going to let them live so long. I'm going to cut it off at about 120. That's just put a cap on it. So now that we've all been dying at younger ages, and the psalmist writes in the Old Testament that if you live to be 70, that's a full life, or if by reason of strength, 80 years. That's a long life. But did you notice anything about these people who lived these really long lives? They all died, except Enoch. He was taken. What does that mean? Well, we'll get there. We'll get there. First, I want to talk about the long life thing. Suppose you could live now to be 1,000 years old. Would that be cool? I don't want to live to be 1,000 years old. Well, no, suppose that we could find ways of genetically updating ourselves, kind of like getting a new version of software for your computer. Still have the same hard drive, but we've put some new software on it, and it runs better now. Okay? There are folks working on that. On the one hand, I find it comical that we live in an age where people read the biblical account and they say, oh, well, obviously this is not true. I mean, people couldn't live that long. And then you go and you read, in March of 2015, the cover story for Newsweek magazine is about billionaires and scientists joining together in order to try and make it so that people can live for, oh, even 1,000 years. That's what they're saying. These are scientists who allegedly really believe that they're going to be able to re-engineer our bodies so that we'll be able to live to be like 1,000 years old. Isn't that great? Well, you know what'll happen? I guarantee it. They're all going to die. They're not going to live to be 1,000. And if they did live to be 1,000, they'd still have to die. I mean, die. God told Adam, mankind, God told Adam, our first parents, if you eat that fruit, you're going to die. They ate the fruit. They died. They became spiritually dead, and their bodies eventually demonstrated it. The fact of the matter is that people die. Now, we've got a fellow in this story who is treated as being unique because where everybody else is described as dying, this guy is described differently. Everybody else, it says they lived and they died. Of Enoch, it says he walked with God instead of he lived. He walked with God. And instead of he died, it says the Lord took him. What is that about? The text means what it says. His life was not just like other people, fitting in, doing what others do. He lived his life close to God, with an awareness of who God is and what God has done. And his heart's desire was for God. He walked with God. Do you remember when Adam and Eve ran and hid themselves in the garden? Why? Because God was walking in the garden. They heard the sound of God walking in the garden, and they were afraid because they were naked, and so they ran and they hid themselves. Enoch was a man who heard the sound of God walking outside the garden, and he ran to be with him. He wanted to be with the Lord. If you knew that God was going to physically, visibly visit Ware's Valley Ranch, would you be running toward him, or would you be running away? When I was a little kid, we lived in Charlotte, North Carolina. My dad was pastor of a church, and the Soviet Union was sending missiles to Cuba, an island just south of South Florida. And the news was telling us that those missiles had the capacity to devastate the southeastern United States, reaching all the way up to Charlotte, North Carolina. So I'm sitting there looking at this and thinking, we're within the target zone. And I said, Dad, if they announced on the news that the missiles have been launched and that we're going to be struck in a matter of minutes, what would we do? And Dad said, well, I think we'd probably gather in the living room and have a word of prayer and wait to see the Lord. See, if you know the Lord, you don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be running in the other direction. You don't have to be afraid. My dad said, if you're not ready to see the Lord, we need to deal with that right now. Because you see, whether or not we get struck with a missile, we're all going to have to face it. Person after person in this list lived and died. Life moves on. And we're all going to die.
So, I would like to be like Enoch.
What part?
The part about just being taken.
Well, then you need to focus on being like Enoch, the man who walked with God. See, if what you're aiming for is not having to die, you're out of luck. But if what you're aiming for is you want to walk with God, that is possible. And that is worthwhile. And if you make that your aim, you do not have to fear death. You don't have to be afraid of what happens if I die. You just focus on walking with God. Make that your aim. Make that the goal. That's the part that matters. Okay? Now, this business of living on and on and on. I don't think the Lord's going to let those scientists be successful. And the only reason I don't think that is because he says in his word that he's capping us at 120. So to me, it would be inconsistent with that if he allowed people to live to be 560 or 820 or whatever. I really look forward to heaven. I'm in no hurry to die. But this world is not my home. Believers are told that we're to live here as strangers and aliens. This isn't home for us. This is a mission field. This is a place of service. And we can say with the Apostle Paul, if we're in Christ Jesus, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul wrote to one of the churches and he says, you know, I'm really torn because on the one hand, I would love to go ahead and be with the Lord, which is better by far than anything in this life. But I know that if I stay here, I can be of some service to you. And so I think that's what's going to happen. I'm going to be here for your benefit. But it's not because, oh, I can't stand to leave. Oh, my grandchildren. You know my concern for my grandchildren? I want them to know Jesus. That's what matters. When you and I know the Lord, we do not have to fear death. And our goal is not on cheating death or postponing death. Our goal is on being with the Lord. And so like Enoch, we walk with him here and now, and we look forward to whenever he takes us home. Because being with him is our home. My oldest son is a paraplegic who's been through now over 40 surgeries. When he was a preschooler, a lady in the airport said to him, with me standing next to him, she looked at him, she greeted him, hi, what's your name? And where is home for you? And he said, heaven. He wasn't being smart aleck, he was being sincere. He had already come to understand the fact that this isn't home. This isn't it, folks. Ware's Valley Ranch is a wonderful place of miracles, but this isn't home. This is temporary. You know, my home actually isn't in East Tennessee. I'm from Indiana. Well, wonderful. Where's your home? If your home is Indiana or Germany or whatever, you need to look higher. Heaven is the home for God's people. Pastor Wood, I've been studying, and apparently it seems that we're there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and that God's people are going to do things here on earth. Do you think we're really going to be somewhere else like in heaven? I think that to be with the Lord is what it's all about. And that's why the Bible tells us that that's supposed to be our focus, and we're supposed to fix our eyes on things above, not on things on the earth. What is your ambition? What is your goal? What is your heart's desire? Do you want to walk with God? If you know him, then the idea that people used to live a long time and then God said, not anymore, that's no stretch. The people who struggle with these things and say, oh, I don't see how it's possible. Perhaps it means something else. They don't know the author. That's the problem. We have a cogent, coherent, very believable revelation from the Creator who says, this is who I am, this is what I've done, this is why you're here, this is how you're to live. And he backs it up over and over and over again. As you study the scriptures, you find God saying generations ahead of time, this is what's going to happen, this is who's going to do what, and world events occur in accordance with that. So much so that some modern skeptics say, well, that couldn't have been written back when it seems to have been written, because there's no way that they could have known what was going to happen in the following generations. It must have been written later. No. It was written as God spoke through his servants and told them what was going to take place. When the Magi came seeking the one who'd been born king of the Jews. It was because they'd seen his star in the east. And so they said, where is he? And Herod, who was no fan of Jesus, who wanted to kill the Messiah, the one born king of the Jews, Herod didn't disbelieve that the prophecies were true. He asked the scholars, where do the scriptures say the Messiah was to be born? They said Bethlehem. And so Herod ordered all the young boys in that area, two and under, to be killed. You think he didn't know that the prophecies were true? And yet his heart was hostile toward God, and therefore he tried to thwart the promise of God. Let me tell you something. The problem with the people who say they don't believe this stuff is not that it's unbelievable. The problem is that they're hostile toward the one who makes the promise. They're hostile toward God. So when you read that these people lived these incredibly long lives and had all these children and so forth, I want you to know something. It's true. It happened like it says. And if you say, well, scientifically, we know that couldn't be so. Well, then you're very ignorant. Because the fact is, science doesn't prove that man can't live that long. It only proves that man is not currently living that long, and that's why bunches of scientists at places like the Jonas Salk Institute, MIT, and elsewhere are trying to figure out how to change the way our bodies function so that we can live that long. And do you know what they call one of the main projects that is getting a lot of funding for this kind of research today? The Methuselah Project. You know why they call it the Methuselah Project? When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he became the father of Lamech, and after he became the father of Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had other sons and daughters, and altogether Methuselah lived 969 years, almost 1,000 years. And then he died. So right now, the scientists are working with mice to try and figure out how to genetically alter them so that they can live super long lives. And it's the Methuselah Mouse Project. And they figure if they can figure out how to do it with mice, then they can do it with us. And within 25 years, people will be living to be 1,000 years old. That's what they think. I predict that most of those scientists will be dead within 25 years. I have friends who have worked diligently, eating all the right foods and exercising so faithfully so that they would be healthy as could be until they died. I'm not saying don't eat right. I'm not saying don't exercise. I'm saying get ready to meet God. Get ready to meet God. If you're ready to meet God, you're in good shape. Because I guarantee you, no matter how well you take care of your body, it is not going to last forever. And I am glad I'm getting a new one. You do not have to be afraid to face death as long as you don't have to be afraid to face God. I am grateful that God has taken away the fear of death. Jesus conquered death for those who trust in him. And if you walk with God, you don't have to be afraid. The Lord will, in his time, take you home. And it's going to be good.
We hope you are blessed by Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. We would like to get to know you better and hope you will take a short survey at pastorwood.org. It will only take a minute or two. Every week, we will draw a few names from those listeners who take this survey. They will be offered a free book of their choosing that is listed at pastorwood.org. We truly hope all our listeners will take this survey. Please visit our website at pastorwood.org and take our survey today.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.